Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're going to talk with Marcus Wright, Digital Media Coordinator for Wichita State Athletic Department. Marcus has been here, we're going on, entering into your third year, correct, Marcus? You started in November of 2018.
Entering into my third year, I guess, put it that way.
Let's start with your time at Wichita State as a student. You are an integrated marketing communications major. Tell us how you got here from Independence, Kansas, and a little bit about the major.
Okay, yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me, Paul. Appreciate you having me on the podcast. Like you said, I graduated from Independence High School, very small school. I believe it's a 4A, so we didn't have a lot of like video classes on hand. I didn't really learn anything in high school about that.
But plenty of other things, though.
Plenty of other things.
We don't want
yeah.
Independence no, high no, teachers no,
no, no.
calling
no,
or,
for anybody
or
listening,
tweeting.
No, it's a great,
many other things.
Great school, and they may have video classes now, but back then, no. So my first year in college, I just went to the community college there in my hometown. Was able to get a scholarship and save some money that way. I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. I know I wanted to get out of my hometown and kind of live the college experience, you know. So the next year I applied at Wichita State. One of my best friends also applied there. So the following fall, I think it was in 2011 is when I started going to school up here. And I think I first started out as a psychology major, and that changed several times. But I eventually landed in the communications school and started working towards my major, which was integrated marketing communications. So that was really eye-opening to me because I didn't have any classes like that at the junior college level, at the high school level. And it was something that I finally was like, okay, maybe I can, you know, turn this into a job one way or the other. Kind of the way that the major was designed was to introduce us to basically how it would be in an ad agency setting. We worked a lot with like copywriting, strategy. Just working on different marketing plans, kind of coming up with campaigns on how we could help local businesses here. I think my last year we worked with the Humane Society. The year before that we did a campaign for Joyful Noise. Have you heard of that?
So, yes.
Yeah, out in the Flint Hills. So, right. Yeah, that was cool. But again, that whole time I'm not really doing anything video or photo wise. I took one photo class with Amy DeVault. Shout out to Amy. She's kind of the one that, you know, first introduced me into, you know, manually controlling your camera, controlling aperture, ISO, things like that. So that was a great class. That kind of piqued my interest. And this whole time I'm going to Wichita State, I'm either doing a part-time job or nothing at all. I think my first year here, I was a Pizza Hut delivery guy. So,
okay.
Yeah, I did that for a year. Unfortunately, my father passed away the next year, so I kind of took a break from work. Not school. I still continued with school, but it was just a lot to handle that year. So I didn't work. Took out my first student loan. Just kind of went that route and. Yeah, the next year came about. I knew I needed more money, so I started applying for just different odd jobs around town. But again, I tried to go back to Pizza Hut, and I didn't get hired right away. So through one way or the other, I ended up finding an ad on campus from the Sunflower, and they were looking for a writer. So I actually started writing for them in 2014, I think. It was my junior year, so I did that for a few months, and soon realized that between the amount of work that I was doing for my degree, the amount of writing that I was doing in class, That combined with the writing I was now doing after class was just a little too much for me at that time. So I talked to some colleagues there and asked them about, you know, a photography position, and they said, well, do you have a camera? And I think I may have fibbed a little bit. I was like, yeah, I do. In fact, in reality, it was my mom's camera. I had to go back that weekend, go back home, dig the camera out of the closet, and started that way. So yeah, it wasn't long before I realized that camera wasn't going to cut it. Saved some money and bought my first, I guess, real camera. It was from Best Buy. It was like a $700 camera, which at the time I'm thinking, like, $700, this has got to be the top of the line camera, you know what I mean? This is as best as it gets. But now I found out it was one of the better ones at Best Buy, but not one of the better ones in the industry. So
those kind of humble origin stories are always good, whether it's a guitar or a camera,
right,
or a drum set or something.
But it's a great camera for anyone that's listening and has that camera or did have that camera. That's it was awesome. Actually, one of my favorite photos of Fred Van Vliet was taken with that photo. I think he actually still has it on his Instagram today. So it's kind of cool.
Okay.
But so I continued working with the Sunflower. Through that, I was able to kind of make connections with people within the athletic department here. Caleb Blanding was always super supportive of me, and, you know, kind of helped me get, you know, freelance gigs from time to time, kind of fill in for some of the guys that were already working here or working with the athletic department. And so, yeah, I did that. I did that for a while, which was cool. It really sparked the interest in, like, okay, this is something that I think I could do, something that I think I'm, you know, decent at right now, and something that I want to get better at going forward. So,
what you would call, I guess, applied learning or real world experiences, whether it was with the Flint Hills Project or the Sunflower or working with the athletic department, those were all helpful in setting your path.
Absolutely. And even though I didn't learn, it wasn't just so video and photo intensive or focused with my degree. I still learned a lot. Just, you know, like Jeffrey Jarman, Eric Wilson, those guys were a big part in, like, you know, showing me, like, you know, how to just behave as a professional. I have a lot of respect for them. They just seem like really, really good guys. And their classes were super interesting to me. And I think, like I said, even though it wasn't super video or photography focused, I 100%, you know, look back at my time with those instructors or my time at the Elliott School, and, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So
photography is a lot of your background. You do a lot of that here. You also do a lot of video for Wichita State, obviously. How's that transition gone from, you know, being really photograph focused to now a lot of video?
Well, at first it was tough. At first I was, I don't know. I owe a lot to my fiance, Julia Stafford, who actually was kind of cool story. She used to be a video GA here, working under Brian Holmgren. She ran track here from, like, 2012 to 2015. So, but I owe a lot to her for me just even coming back to Wichita. To be honest, I didn't want to leave the Cardinal job. I mean, for me, that was big. I was super excited about that. I really loved the work that I was doing. It just wasn't a full-time job, so that was, you know, I'm at that point, I'm in my mid-20s, I'm getting older, I need, you know, health insurance, I need some more security. So I worked through MLB Advanced Media, and kind of how that works is basically they started it's called the RTC program the year prior to me starting in St. Louis. And that stands for real-time correspondent, and basically they were making a push to focus on getting content pushed out in real time. So a guy hits a home run within 5 minutes, that real-time correspondent is sending that home run photo to the Cardinals, to MLB, so that it can be pushed out on social media, which at the time was kind of new. A lot of photographers around the league were older men that kind of were stuck in their ways and, you know, wanted to do it a certain way, were kind of late to catch on to the whole social media and the importance of putting stuff out real time. So that's how it kind of all got started. There's a guy who's a friend of mine now. He's a really good photographer out of Kansas City. His name's Sam Lutz. He works for the Royals and does some work for the Chiefs as well. And I reached out to him. I noticed his work. I noticed he hadn't really done much college stuff before getting into the MLB role. So I was like, you know, how did he get this job? And you know, he was talented enough to where they trusted him to just put him right into that. And also, I think a lot of this in this industry is like, you know, who you know, connections. But minus the connections, he was super talented, and he would have blossomed without that. But that being said, I reached out to Sam, I think through Instagram, and I just asked him, you know, what was he doing? What is this program? And he kind of told me where to look, go on MLB's site, apply for, not a photographer, don't look for a job called photographer. Search real-time correspondent, and you'll see that came up. So I did that and applied. I got a call back from my former boss, Casey Evans, who is, I don't know her exact title. Basically, she's the director of social media at MLB. And it was kind of a two-part interview. First you have to get basically approved or hired on by MLB or vetted or given the okay. And then they find a team for you, or they ask you, you know, where would you be willing to relocate? They set up interviews through that team and so forth. So my first two potential teams were the Rockies and the Cubs. I never got the interview with the Rockies. I did interview with the Cubs, but they ended up going with a more experienced photographer than myself. So that was a major letdown, because I didn't think I was gonna get it. You know, it sounded too good to be true at first, and I was really hopeful. At the time, you know, I think I'm a year or two out of college, and I'm working back in my hometown at Independence Community College as an admissions representative. So, not that there's anything wrong with that. That just wasn't for me. I was in a different world, giving tours and helping kids get enrolled in class, which it was great for the time, but I knew I wanted to do something else. So I was actively looking for other jobs. And when the MLB thing came up, obviously I was very hopeful for it. Had my hopes high. And when I didn't get it, it was pretty devastating. I didn't want to continue doing what I was doing. I really was not happy. And very, very, I didn't have a very good like sense of like being fulfilled with the work that I was doing. So, 2 weeks went by. We're now like 3 weeks away from the start of baseball season. I'm like, the team, everybody's got, you know, all the photographers, their whole staff's all full for this season. So I basically wrote it off. And, I think it was like 2 weeks before the regular season started, the Cardinals had an opening and wanted to see if I was interested. And of course I was. I grew up a Cardinals fan. My grandpa took me to the Cardinals games. It's closer to home. It's closer to Independence. So it seemed like the perfect fit. I was blessed to get the offer. I got the offer, and you know, 2 weeks before the season started, I think I moved up there the next week. Got into like a 300 square foot apartment studio, and lived there for the next two seasons. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. So people kind of get confused. They think that I work for the Cardinals, and in a way that I did, but it was a program through MLB called the RTC program, which is now called the LLC program, LCC, Live Content Creator Program.
Yeah, the idea of these constant deadlines of real time, it seems obvious now.
Right.
I think we're all conditioned to. There was a great play, I want to look at my phone.
Right.
What was the adjustment like at that point? How did you get comfortable and figure that out?
My very first day, I completely dropped the ball. the MLB program was so new at the time that there wasn't a lot of a ton of training going into it, and didn't really have a lot of like a good sense of what my duties were, how often I needed to turn in photos. I was still like very much in the mindset of, you know, how I used to be, where I take my photos and I take my time looking through them and I edit them and then I send them in. But they didn't want that. They wanted them pretty much unedited, sent in immediately. And so it was a challenge to, one, just figure out, okay, how do I get the photos from my camera to my phone? And then two, you know, just making sure that I'm turning in good content. So yeah, it took a little while to get the hang of it, but I'd say a week or two in, I was pretty comfortable with the whole process. I kind of got into a groove, and you know, it got a lot more fun after that. So
then you make your way to Wichita State. Describe your job duties at Wichita State. I think people would probably know you as the video guy, but there's more to it than that. What are your job duties?
So it started out like I was, you know, just kind of going into this thinking I would be doing about 50% photography, 50% photos. But it's turned out where I'm predominantly doing video work more, which I can't complain. At first, I was reluctant to. I was talking earlier about my fiance like trying to get me here, getting away from St. Louis and taking a chance on something new. And I think the whole video thing scared me at first because I had a little experience going into it. We talked a little bit before the podcast about, I did music videos on the side, and that's kind of what helped me progress a little bit, but I was only doing them like once every month or once every other month, so it wasn't enough to really get good at video, just enough to know, you know, the basics. But my job, it started a little bit 50% photo, 50% video, and since then has transitioned into more video, which you asked me a year ago what would I think about that. I probably wouldn't be too enthused, because I really did like photography and I still do, but now I've really taken a liking to shooting video, you know, producing videos, editing them. It really has become my passion, and I don't know. It's funny how things change like that. How, you know, you think you want to be doing one thing for, you know, the rest of your life, and kind of certain situations put you in a place where it opens up new doors, and you know, you may find out you're better at another thing than you wanted to be at photography. So it's been a lot of fun. I guess going into specifics of the job, I mean, it's obviously to produce videos, recap videos, hype videos going into it, but it's also kind of going back to the real-time aspect of, you know, pumping stuff out beforehand, before the game. That way we're not waiting until the end of the game to put a photo out or put a video out. So it's still very challenging, especially with video, trying to put stuff out real time. We have to be a little bit more strategic and planning that, you know. For instance, if we're like trying to put a mini, I don't even know the terminology, a mini hype video out before the game starts, you know, a couple clips of them coming in, shooting, you know, doing shoot around, stretching. I think that's really cool. I think people enjoy that and they would like to see that, that unfolding as it's happening, especially since it's butted up right before the game. But it also takes away from, okay, maybe these shots could have been used for the recap video at the end. Or if I'm editing this before the game, I'm missing out on, you know, these moments that are happening, you know, as I'm editing. So it's a balancing, and it's just kind of figuring out, you know, what's the best strategy going into the game. Obviously, we don't shoot a recap every game. That would be overwhelming. Which is nice, you know. A lot of credit goes to the people that I work with, and you know, they're very understanding as far as like what is reasonable, you know, what is what can we put out that's just not going to, you know, keep us working 24/7. So I like the fact that our team, you know, we kind of pinpoint bigger games, like the one on Thursday coming up. This has been on our schedule for a while. And, you know, focus on making bigger productions out of those bigger games. And then smaller games, you know, maybe, you know, we kind of take an approach where we let the game come to us. You know, the very least we're going to put like the play of the game out. But if there's, you know, a cool story behind it, like the Trey Wade when he got his first double-double or whatever, some, you know, kind of finding different stories, kind of like I'm sure you do whenever you're writing post-game, what happened during the game and basing our content off that. So, yeah.
I've been told the music makes or breaks the video. So how much is your background in the music videos? How much has that helped with that part of it?
None, because the music videos that I shot were at most, by and large, terrible music.
Okay.
Honestly, so there were some good ones out there. Trust me, the few of you guys I really enjoyed working with. Some of you guys couldn't remember your lyrics, so yeah, I don't think it helped a lot. And I think that as I've been in this job, I've realized how important the song is with the video. And honestly, that may be the hardest part of the whole video. I mean, I spend hours, maybe sometimes, you know, just looking through YouTube or finding different potential songs. Shout out to our intern Willie, who has been a huge help this year. Not only, you know, helping me shoot these videos, providing me, you know, advice and different ideas on how we can edit them and things like that, but also helping me find songs too. Like being the only full-time video guy in the athletic department is a challenge. Obviously, it's hard, and being able to, you know, delegate jobs like that he could do in his, you know, when he's in his office or when he doesn't have a project, is huge. It saves me a lot of time, and yeah, it's been such a nice thing having him around. He's been a huge help so far. So shout out to Willie.
Sure. If he's Willie Schwanke. We're talking about Willie Schwanke, former Shocker pitcher, and now he would be, if you know who Marcus is, if you see him walking around with the video cameras, you're also seeing Willie a lot at Shocker Athletic events, doing the same kind of stuff. Favorite videos that you've done here at Wichita State? Hit us with maybe two or three that jumped to mind that you thought were particularly effective or well done.
Well, if you would ask my grandma, who I call her Nanny, we spoke right before this. I told her that I'm going on my first podcast, so she was pretty excited about it. If you ask her, it would be the last one, the last photo recap thing that we did. She just, I don't know. I guess it was a good sign. It turned out to get a pretty good response on Twitter, and right when I put it out, I got a phone call from her, and she was like, "That's the best one I've seen so far." So, yeah, that's, I guess that one, because Nanny liked it, but...
Not like anything?
I don't think, yeah. I think she likes everything, so we can't...
That's still important,
she's a little biased, but for me, like, I really like the way that we did the VCU one, and I told Willie this, and Kayla, and, you know, the rest of our team. I think it's easy for teams, it would be easy for us to get into a pattern of making these videos the same every time, where it's, you know, shots of them coming in, doing it in, you know, sequential order. And I challenged myself last time that we did a full video recap, referring to the VCU one. We wanted to switch things up, where we obviously we had video, but we included still shots within the video that almost look like a kind of like a GIF sequence, and also just making the clips out of order, I think, was kind of a cool touch. I mean, we started the video off with the post-game interview of Greg talking about what a big win that was for the Shockers, and he kind of segued it into the video with a really good soundbite. How I think he said, you know, scary thing is we may just be getting started, and so from there, just, you know, kind of mixed and matched. I can't remember exactly how we did it. Maybe we went to write to a play, and then we jumped back to the players walking in, and, you know, back to a play, and then intro. So I thought it was a nice touch. I really liked the way that one came out. Another one that I really like was the one that Willie did, the OU one. He pretty much, well, he did do it all. It was all him. I was gone for that game. It was a huge game, so he stepped up and shot some awesome shots and put together a really amazing edit. So that was a big one. I really like the work that he did. Those would be probably my two favorites so far. The OSU one was fun too, going down to Stillwater and getting the win. That was awesome.
My favorite would be the Gene Stevenson handshake video. I really enjoyed that one. You mentioned you get a lot of feedback. You know, these are out on social media, so you're going to get reaction. You get it from coaches, from players, from fans. Right. What kind of things do you hear? Do you get tips? Do you get ideas to say, yeah, maybe I can take this in a different direction? How do you look at that part of this?
I do get feedback. Honestly, I'll be honest, I don't get a lot of like people telling me ways to do it better, other than Julia, my fiance. We'll talk about it sometimes. She's really good about that stuff. We'll kind of go into, you know, maybe the night before a big game and talk about ways that I could, you know, switch things up and do something different. And then, of course, you know, my team, you know, Kayla and Reggie and Tammy and Willie, you know, a lot of credit goes to them for just, you know, putting me in a position that, you know, that I can create what I want to create. You know, they're great at giving me advice, but they're also great at, you know, just letting loose of the reins and kind of letting me take it. And, you know, having that creative freedom is big for me. It's a huge thing. You know, it's a big perk of the job.
Have we discovered that fans just have an unending appetite for anything that's kind of behind the scenes? I mean, they just love that,
right?
That aspect.
Yeah. And I was telling Julia this too. Like, I of course, like, I think people like the videos, but I mean, it's the players that they want to see. You know, I mean, we're all fans. Like, we everybody loves this team. I mean, how could you not? You know, these guys are, not only are they successful on the court this season, but these are just really cool dudes to hang around with. And I think, I mean, that helps me too. I mean, a lot of credit goes to them and Greg Marshall as well for like giving me the access that he does. I mean, the whole coaching staff has been so supportive of me and the team. I mean, kudos to them for really accepting me like right off the bat. I mean, immediately when I got here, I think I knew like a couple players from when I was interning or when I was, you know, doing freelance gigs. But I mean, it was really cool to see how quickly they just accepted me into their, you know, into their family. And again, like how Coach just, you know, was very supportive with the access and, you know, letting me film his, you know, pregame speeches and stuff like that. So it's been so much fun, honestly.
When you talk with peers or correspond with peers at other schools, are there varying levels of access and cooperation?
Yeah, there is. And I mean, going from MLB, working with the Cardinals to here has just been night and day. I mean, you know, I won't get into too much detail, but you know, at the Cardinals, it was very much like a kind of a territorial type thing between the old photographers and the new guys coming in. And you know, unfortunately, I was never actually given access like other photographers were in St. Louis. I was always left to roam around the stands and get my shots that way. And that was one thing that I always told myself, like, you know, if I'm ever in a position where I can like help others progress in their field quicker, I'm gonna do that. I'm not gonna be the guy that like keeps everything, you know, to himself, or, you know what I mean, be controlling. So yeah, it was unfortunate that was the case in St. Louis. It was kind of funny, at the end the Astros ended up hiring me for the playoffs, the last the last year I was in St. Louis. And I don't know, it was kind of a cool thing just to, you know, when the team photographers who had, you know, may have not been so welcoming during my time there would come up at the end of the season and be like, yeah, you know, what are you doing now that the season's over? And, you know, I mean, I just told them the truth. Well, the Astros are hiring me to be their team, one of their team photographers. And, you know, so that was cool. That was awesome to kind of be able to experience what a real photographer at the MLB level is like, you know, being in the photo wells, getting closer to the athletes, not just being stuck in the stands. So shout out to the Astros for, you know, picking me and trusting me. Alex, Alex is their team photographer, and he's a mentor of mine, a friend of mine. We still keep in contact to this day, and yeah, it was awesome having that type of access, for sure.
So you're open to the mentoring part of it then?
I'm definitely
your open. DMs are open if you're a Wichita State student out there, wants to learn more about this.
Yeah,
this
absolutely. You know, at 100%, I feel like a lot of video guys and photo guys are very selfish and like the tricks of the trade. They're kind of, in my experience, I've reached out to other people and, you know, you don't get a response back, or you don't get the answer that you thought you would get. Just little things, you know, like, how'd you do this? How'd you edit this way? Or what'd you do to that photo? So yeah, that's something that I've always thought is just weird for people to act that way and not really want to share. So I think it's been cool to kind of take a mentorship role with Willie, kind of, you know, take him under my wing and teach him what I know.
Sure.
It still feels weird to me to even talk like this, honestly, because I feel like I'm so new on, I really feel like I'm so new in this field, and I have a lot to learn. So yeah, I'm happy to teach people what I know, but I certainly don't know it all, far from it.
Part of the job is taking things that are routine, getting off a bus, jogging down a hallway, but making them look dramatic, making them look like, oh, this is part of a, you know, a bigger buildup to something.
Yep.
How do you think about that part of the job?
I think the challenge is making simple things look cinematic in a way, or look engaging in a way. And I don't really know if there's like one thing that I can say that just, you know, this is how I do it. I think kind of this may be an easy answer, but I think it comes down to your eye, the photographer's eye, the video guy, what he sees, and how, you know, how he can show that to the audience. There's things that you can do that'll help your video, like simple things, like fill the frame, make the subject fill the frame. You don't want to be 20 yards back when the players are getting off the bus. And so that's another thing with going back to the access part, being able to, you know, be close to, be on the bus with the team, you know, being the first one off so you can get the players coming off. That just helps. That helps a lot, for sure. So yeah, it is a challenge to, you see the same things, especially here, players getting taped, putting their jersey on in the locker room, walking out on the court. Like, it is hard to switch things up and make it look engaging and just not the same every single time. So, yeah, I don't know. It's something that we challenge ourselves every time to kind of, whether it's, you know, getting different angles, shooting that same moment from a different spot. It's a challenge for sure to make things look new.
Wichita State plays Memphis on Thursday. What will your game day be like? Take us through kind of the routine, the process of preparing, shooting the game, and then the post-game production.
Okay, so well, the process starts now. It's going on right now. We are kind of working through a shot list. We talk about a shot list, and sometimes we write it down. We never really, I don't know why we do it. We never print it off and take it down to the court. But I think it's good. We'll think of shots that we know we want to get prior. And then, you know, obviously, like, even last night I was up late kind of listening at different songs. We don't have a song yet for it. So I'm going to be going through hundreds of songs probably this week leading up. We have a couple pre-game posts that we're trying to create. I won't go into it. We'll just let
don't give anything away. No, we want it to be a surprise.
Right. Yeah. So it's just a couple simple things, but our main focus is the game itself. We're not going to spend a lot of time pumping something out prior because, again, like I said, that's time that we could be focusing on coach talking to his players in the locker room or other things like that. So I think right now we're just, like I said, we're kind of working through trying to find a song, trying to find different ideas. Yeah, it'll be nice that we have ESPN here. Maybe we can get their feed, kind of incorporate some of their, you know, the commentators' audio within the recap. And then a lot of it will just be, you know, creating what the game gives us, you know. Hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully we have a lot of good plays. And then it makes my job that much easier. So
the game will be over. It's a 6 o'clock tip. The game will be over around 8. There'll be post-game duties. What time will you be done that evening?
The game will be done around 8. I will immediately go home. I'll start looking through the game and editing. To be honest, especially with these late games, I don't know. It depends kind of how much energy I have by the end of the day. But I would say I would be editing probably till maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. I've never been able to get it done the night of. I always challenge myself to. Step number one is just watch the whole game again. Find all the best clips, and that takes a lot of time. And then after that, you know, if I have a song ready to go, that's nice because I can just jump into the edit. But I've been in a lot of situations where it's the night of the game, post game. I'm going through the clips and I still don't have a song. So, it just all depends. But it's always a late night for sure. I try to get up early and get back to the edit so we get the video out and somewhat of a quick turnaround.
Yeah. Do you have a deadline in mind? At some point, well, the moment kind of begins to pass that I need to have it out by 9 a.m., by noon. What's your thought on that?
No, I don't know. And you would have to talk to Kayla about social media. Like, that whole thing is so foreign to me. I don't know when the best time to post is or anything like that. For me, all I know is that, like, I work my tail off at the end. And I really, I take a break to sleep and then I get back up and I work until it's done. So it's always such a rush and it's, I feel like I'm in a time zone kind of afterwards. But it's very rewarding at the end, especially when it comes out good and, you know, you get good feedback from it. So, yeah.
Rolling constant deadlines. Yes. Social media. It's a beautiful thing. All right. We got a big game on Thursday. You'll be able to find Marcus's work on Go Shockers through the Twitter, through Facebook, all of those kind of things. Where else?
Follow our individual sports team accounts as well. Go Shockers men's basketball, women's basketball, and all the other sports. That's where we'll be putting the content out as well. So if you don't follow those teams, I encourage you to do so. And not only that, but engage with the post, like the post, retweet the post. I think that really helps a lot. For us, it shows, you know, that we're doing a good job. What we're doing is worthwhile. And I think too, like, you know, we as fans can help in certain ways, even with recruiting. Like, you know, a potential recruit could see a post, see how much retweets it gets, how many likes it gets. And I don't know, maybe that influences them to maybe consider going to Wichita State. So, if you're not following those accounts, I encourage you to do so.
Excellent advice. Marcus, thank you very much. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. I'm Paul Sollentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to, just as Marcus advised, like us, rank us, rate us, subscribe, all those good kind of things. Thank you for listening.